Can you hang on a moment?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Congressional leaders say it might take longer than the few weeks before Inauguration Day to get President-elect Barack Obama a stimulus package. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer says the massive spending plan could take as long as a month to craft. Mr. Obama is off to Capitol Hill today to talk about more than $300 billion in tax cuts for businesses and the middle class. Congress will also take a close look at financier Bernard Madoff's alleged $50 billion fraud. Lawmakers want to know how he put the pyramid scheme together and why the Securities and Exchange Commission didn't catch it. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
The House Financial Services Committee will hear from SEC Inspector General David Kotz. He faces questions about why Bernie Madoff's dealings went undetected for so long. Tips about Madoff's alleged scheme surfaced as far back as 1999, but it's not clear why the agency didn't follow up on the leads. The SEC is looking into a relationship between a former agency attorney and Bernie Madoff's niece, who are now married. Hundreds were fleeced by Madoff Securities, and not just individual investors. His clients included universities, banks, and charities. The House committee will also hear from the president of the Securities Investor Protection Corporation. The SIPC is supposed to help investors if they suffer losses from a bad brokerage company. Claim forms are now being sent to Madoff investors. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Tensions in the Middle East continue to fuel increases in the price of oil. It's trading at about $48 a barrel this morning. Iran, the world's fourth largest oil producer, wanted to cut supplies to supporters of Israel in the wake of the Gaza campaign. But American and European allies in the region, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and others, wouldn't go along. Markets are on the upswing today. Asian stocks rose for the most part. Hong Kong was up 3.5%. Japan was up more than 2%, the highest close for the Nikkei in 2 months. European shares are mostly up this morning. The Dow is starting the week above 9,000. It rose more than 250 points Friday, nearly 3%. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ gained about 3% as well to wrap up the week. Wall Street futures are modestly lower. Modern-day pirates continue to roam the waters off Somalia. Just in the new year, they've attacked 5 oil and cargo ships. Experts say the hijackings failed because of extra warships in the region. The U.S. and other allies sent those ships. And tomorrow, China gets into the act. Economically, there is a lot at stake. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
3 Chinese warships are steaming towards Somalia. It's the Navy's first combat-ready mission in 6 centuries. Beijing took notice in November when pirates hijacked an international oil tanker. China imports half its crude, much of it from the Middle East. Rory Medcalf is with the think tank the Lowy Institute in Sydney. He says it's time for Beijing to protect its cargoes.
They don't want to, if you like, outsource the security of their energy imports and so on to the United States forever.
China says its deployment is about taking responsibility, and its naval projection is part of a peaceful rise in the world. Still, Medcalf says China's neighbors are watching for any signs of military aggression.
Nobody knows precisely how a powerful China will behave. I don't even think the leaders of China know how their country might behave 20 or 30 years from now.
For now, the point is to protect shipping lanes. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com.
Like a fine piece of crystal or china that falls to the floor, Britain's Waterford Wedgwood is broken, or just broke. It was unable to secure financing and is headed for Britain's version of bankruptcy. Typically, luxury goods hold up better in bad times, but even the wealthy are cutting back in this financial fallout. Something you didn't need to shop at Woolworths in Britain, that is, was a lot of money. American entrepreneur Frank Woolworth opened his first British store 100 years ago, and few American imports have been held with such affection. But the financial crisis has taken its toll, and the chain will close the last of its discount stores there this week. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
You can tell how the Brits feel about Woolworths from the nickname. They call it Woolies. At this store in London, customers felt sad, even guilty, about turning up for the closing down sale.
Feel a bit of a vulture at the end of the pickings. Grown up with Woolies, I remember it as a child.
It's just been there ever since I was a kid. It's a bit sad, isn't it? It's like the end of an era.
Woolworths was always a shop I used to shop at as a child.
What did you buy here as a child?
I used to buy a bag of broken biscuits for 6p. And we used to go home, my brother and I, and we used to make a tent out of a sheet, and we used to think it was wonderful with our broken biscuits for 6p. And that's my memories of Woolworths, and I'm very sad to see it go.
But nostalgia wasn't enough to save Woolies from a competitive onslaught. Supermarkets undercut the chain in household goods, toys and clothing, and the internet finally killed off Woolies' music sales. All that was really left was confectionery, says analyst Robert Clark.
It just didn't work anymore, and it didn't really stand for much, and really it became reduced to sort of the biggest sweet shop in the world, and that's just not good enough. You can't make enough profit doing just that.
Woolies might have staggered on, but for the credit crunch. Just before Christmas, banks called in their loans. Woolies couldn't pay up and declared bankruptcy. Many more British stores are going the same way, says analyst Jonathan DeMello.
Going forwards, there's a number of other potential retailers that are going to fall by the wayside. And at the moment, we're forecasting that maybe one in ten retail sites may become vacant in January. So it's a pretty dire time, really, for retailers.
Hopes of a last-minute reprieve for Woolies are waning fast. There has been a flurry of bidding, but only on eBay, for souvenirs, like staff uniforms, closing down posters and other bits of Woolies memorabilia. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Hope you can join us online at our website, marketplace.org. The numbers, we're podcasting there on the latest economic news. Yours at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.